real skin results start with one daily ritual. Meet Daily Microfoliant from Dermalogica. This iconic exfoliating powder activates with water to gently polish away dullness and uneven texture. It leaves skin instantly smoother and more luminous while supporting your skin barrier. Formulated with professional expertise to deliver visible results daily, even on sensitive skin. Discover your healthiest skin today. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at checkout for an exclusive gift with your $65 purchase.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game, and head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Yes, that line forms on the right, babe. Not that Maggie's back in town. Look out, old Maggie's back.
Chris McMichael.
How can you sing on a day like this? 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on this Monday morning, taking your calls till 5 a.m. in the warm-up show. We got Fleegs on the other side. And again, 888-808-1019. I'm going to get to you quick because I see you're already up there on the line. I don't even know what to say, Giant fans. We'll get to the Jets and their new last name, as Peter was putting. But my God, I mean, 1,600 times, who cares? I mean, I don't even know what to say. That is one of those losses. It is a gut punch. And we'll get to all the different particulars. I'll get through a couple here in the open, but I do want to go straight to you. But overall, this was supposed to, watching this game, the way the New York Giants showed up in Denver, all the talk all week, all the back and forth between the two teams, knowing the difficult spot. And I know, you know, gambling isn't everything, but they're a 7-point underdog. They kicked off at 8.5-point underdogs. The money was on Denver. This is a tough spot for a rookie kid and this New York Giants team to go out to Denver, one of the top two or three defenses in the sport, and go beat one of the better teams out west. This was a tough spot. I wasn't sure what to expect from this Giant team. The last time we saw them on the road, they turned the ball over 5 consecutive times against the New Orleans Saints. And they don't come out just playing well. They come out dominating the football game. Absolutely dominating the football game. This defense that somehow gives up 33 points in the fourth quarter, and we'll get to all of it, I promise you. But as they somehow give up 33 points in the fourth quarter, all game long, they are dominating. They are dominating the football game. And the quarterback, I mean, watching this kid play, we talk about what, you know, people have it, right? It's a common phrase. Jackson Dart, I don't know what it is, but I can tell you the presence inside the pocket from the beginning of this game against what is the best, arguably the best pass rush in the NFL. Andrew Thomas, Illuminor. Great games. He goes into this game without his starting center, without his best wide receiver, without arguably his second best wide receiver. He goes in with little Jordan Humphreys. He goes in with 2 okay tight ends, 3 lousy wide receivers against one of the best defenses in the sport on the road, and they were up for the game because they were talking trash all week long. And this kid, inside the pocket, his presence awareness, his ability to maneuver inside the pocket while continuing to look down the field to make plays, which we saw in the touchdown deep to the tight end, like the first touchdown of the game, we saw it all game long. This kid wasn't just out there functioning. He was playing excellent football against one of the best defenses in the league, and this Giant team was kicking ass. This Giant team was, to, you know, imposing their will. They were dominating the line of scrimmage. Their pass rush that is vaunted, and like I said, the best in the NFL, arguably, wasn't making the impact it typically makes. They were doing everything right. Everything right. The Broncos had penalties. The Giants didn't. They get the deflection. The Giants return the favor with their own deflection ricochet. Like, they were doing everything right, and this was freaking 10 minutes away from being one of the best wins this franchise has had in forever. 10 minutes away. Forget that. 5 minutes away from being a victory that we could sink our teeth into and declare this a good football team. Not a team that is making strides. Not a team that's not as bad as we thought. Not a team that's improving with a young quarterback that we're waiting to develop. A good football team that just went into Denver and kicked the crap out of the Broncos as they get ready for the Eagles next week. It was a full week. A full week of getting amped up for a huge game to thrust themselves back into the mix of winning this division. And it wouldn't have sounded crazy because this isn't just some, you know, catch the Chargers by you know, off guard with the rookie quarterback. This wasn't beating, you know, an Eagles team that, you know, you could say is going through it, although they, you know, won today. But, like, this was, without question, a stamp the table, we have arrived. The New York Giants are a good football team. That's what today was. At 19-0, that's what today was. At 26-8, that's what today was. And instead, we are talking about one of the biggest collapses in NFL history, and it's for a bunch of different reasons. And let me just say, first and foremost, it is not mainly, it's on everyone. But if you think the finger pointing starts at the head coach, I don't agree with you at all. At all. Let's point out where it starts first. This GM, right, who, let's be fair, drafted the quarterback, right? Of all the things you can get wrong, drafting a bust offensive lineman at the top of the draft, dropping a bust cornerback at the top of the draft, he got the quarterback right. I'll give him that. But can you believe how he has handled the kicking position for the last 3 years? It has been a disgrace. Gonneau can't stay healthy. He starts the season with him, and we're left with this. A kid who couldn't start for Rutgers and is only in the NFL because of an international like portal. That's why he's even in the NFL. That is not an NFL kicker kicking for the New York Giants who cost them points that lost them this game. It is outrageous to me that the general manager did not take the kicker more seriously and that there isn't an NFL kicker after all the disasters they've had over the last couple of years with the kicker. The idea that an NFL kicker, I know Gronow got hurt, there should have been an NFL kicker sitting there today able to kick extra points.
Meet your moment of calm. Primally Pure just expanded their Blue Tansy collection, and the new Blue Tansy Body Butter is already a ritual rooted in real life. It's cloud soft, it melts into the skin, and it's made from scratch with real biocompatible ingredients your body actually recognizes. Grass-fed tallow to fortify your skin barrier, mango and shea butters to replenish moisture, and beeswax for a breathable layer of protection. For mornings that feel full, for days that don't go as planned, for moments that seem chaotic, return to calm with skin that feels restored, protected, and buttery soft.
Embarrassing. Embarrassing. That's an embarrassing job. And this defense, yes, terrific the entire second half. The first half of the game, disastrous in the fourth quarter. And I know we're gonna focus on two plays specifically. We're gonna focus defensively. Let's just start there. We're gonna focus on rushing three at the final drive. Absolutely a terrible call. It's the exact same call that he made against Dallas. The exact same call that he wish he had back is what we heard during the week after Dallas. And he makes the same call. Absolutely true. But that is not why they lost this game. And I'll tell you why. One, mainly the reason they lost is they have no depth in the defensive backfield. Holland and Adebo go down, and Banks is an atrocious player. What a miserable pick. He was picked on the second he got into this game. He was awful. Dane Belton didn't do a good job either. And on that final play, despite rushing three and giving him a ton of time, which I agree is a bad call. It's an atrocious call. And not having your three best pass rushers be the three rushing is an even worse call. It's a disastrous call that every one of those defenders who, as you saw, Burns running off the field, pissed off, caught on camera. Everyone in that locker room, as you're hearing that there's some real, they don't even want to talk about that play call. They're frustrated with the play call. And we'll see if Bowen makes it through tomorrow. And if he doesn't, bravo, bring somebody else in. I'm all for it. But if you watch the play, there's no reason that catch should be made. You got the safety cutting the wrong way. You've got Andrew Phillips unable to turn around and make a play on the ball. It's an atrocious call and atrocious execution. And that's what we saw the entire fourth quarter. So when the other play comes up and we seem to get angry that the coach on third and five decides to trust his rookie quarterback, put the ball in his hands instead of doing what, oh, you should just run the clock out. Just run the clock out and you win the game. I'm not so sure. That defense was on tilt. I'm not sure they win the game if they rush four. I'm not sure if they win the game if they give the ball back at all. Because the defense was cooked at that point, and the coach recognized it. And we watched all day long, this young quarterback, Jackson Dart, step up, play with poise, make the right decisions, avoid the rush, and then with the game on the line, on third and five, with an opportunity to, you get a first down there. Now you're talking about running out the clock and winning the football game. I have no problem with the coach entrusting this rookie quarterback who has not only dominated this game, but the second he took over the starting quarterback position and got to the field, he has transformed not only the offense, but the entire team. And he played an excellent game, and outside of coughing up a fumble against the Saints, he's been fairly careful with the football. I have zero problem. After watching that defense play, I have zero problem not wanting to give it back to them without taking a chance of getting that first down, which probably wins the game. A punt there does not. It's better than the interception. It gives them a chance to win the game. I want to get that first down. I have no problem with the coach putting the ball in this kid's hands. This should have been the coming out party for Jackson Dart. It still is in many ways. And I know we don't believe in moral victories. I'm sorry. It's hard not to, at least on some level, come out of that, not necessarily about anything else other than the Giants have found their future quarterback. That was an incredibly difficult spot, and he played incredibly well. And we're going to kill the coach. I heard Tiki's rant. I understand it. And he knows more football than I'll ever learn. I get it. But for me, watching the game, I had no problem letting the coach put the game in that kid's hands. I want, as a New York Giant fan, I don't care if it's four games. I don't care if it's on the road as a rookie. I've seen this kid play long enough to know that when the game's on the line, I want it in his hands. I have no problem with it. None. He made a bad play and didn't see a linebacker under the route.
It's a rookie mistake. It happens. It's unfortunate. He's got to be better than that. He's got to see him. He's staring right at him. But I've seen enough where I trust this kid. And look what he did. He goes down the field. Yeah, he gets the help of some penalties. And yeah, it was kind of wild and he underthrew. He got lucky. The two defenders ran into each other. He got lucky on a pass interference. They were kind of just chucking the ball down the field. It wasn't the greatest of drives to lead the team down the field to get that, you know, go-ahead touchdown late. But he did it. He makes an incredible play on 4th-and-19 or whatever to get it right to the line. And then they get the roughing the passer that extenuates it. But I have zero problem giving the ball to that kid who has shown me so much in these 4 weeks. He deserved the opportunity to go win the football game. Deserved it. I have zero problem with it. And I'll tell you this, because I'm looking at the calls up right now, fire, fire, fire. I think you're insane if you want to fire Brian Daboll. I think you are insane. We just got done over the whole course of the week talking about the Jets and their impending decision coming up for the first pick in the draft, possibly, or, you know, drafting a quarterback, and how many top picks are ruined. How many top picks suffer from changing coaches and changing offenses. Look at the way this kid is playing. I know they just lost a gut-wrenching loss. I feel it too. I'm sick to my stomach. I'm not messing with this kid and his relationship with this coach. Ain't doing it. You want to fire the defensive coordinator? By all means. Go ahead and do it. You watch this quarterback play, who was excited to be drafted by this coach, excited to be playing for this coach. You watch what they did outside of the last 5 minutes of this game. And you want to move on from the coach? You got to fire Daboll? Why? He didn't pick the kicker. He didn't make the defensive call. He didn't call the timeout instead of letting Burns get called for offsides? Yeah, that's a bad one. Outside of that, he has coached this kid into possibly the most, I'm not going to say the best rookie performance I've ever seen or the best rookie quarterback I've ever seen. That's too much hyperbole. But I can tell you this, I can't remember a quarterback with this much pocket presence and this much just calm while the storm is going on around him. I'm not doing it. And I come out of today as disappointed as I am, as frustrated as I am. And I know many of you won't like this, and I don't care. The fact of the matter is, the Giants found their quarterback. And this relationship is the most important relationship in the NFL, coach and quarterback. And what we just saw and what we have seen and what I expect to see the rest of the year, I ain't messing with it, and I think you're crazy too. I don't know what you think Brian Daboll did in this game to deserve to be fired. I have no idea, but we're going to find out. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on the fan. Let's get to the calls because it's more than disappointing. It is outright unbelievable they lost this game up 19 points in the fourth quarter. It's unbelievable. And it's inexcusable to have the kicking situation they have. It's inexcusable. Extra points win this game, man. Extra points. They were chasing that point the entire game. And you know what? I was kind of getting on Daboll for not kicking the extra point in that second touchdown and trying to make up for it. I don't, you know, now that he missed the second one, I don't blame him. That's three extra points in the last 2 weeks. They don't have faith. They don't have faith in the kicker to kick an extra point. And rightfully so. That's on the GM. Unbelievable. We'll get to all the different particulars of this game and all the different plays, but I want to get to your calls. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Jake in Toms River. What's up, Jake?
Hi, Chris. How's it going on this miserable Monday?
It's miserable. It's a tough one.
Yeah, so I know you said you don't like taking moral victories, but I'd like to say, like, on this rebuilding team, I think there are a couple you can take. Obviously, one being Jackson Dart.
Yeah.
And I know people online specifically are refusing to blame him for throwing that pick. I think at the end of the day, the momentum shifted after he threw that pick and they scored the touchdown.
No doubt.
I think people have to put more blame on him, and I love him, and I think he's our quarterback of the future.
No doubt. No, you can't make that throw.
You can't make that throw.
Can't make that throw.
Joe Shane, that he has to be the first person I blame in this game.
I agree.
Not having a kicker for extra points is just terrible. You can't have it.
No, listen, now, this kid and Ku had, you know, from the former kicker from Atlanta, had a competition and apparently he won out. Maybe you could put that on Dable, that Dable was a part of the decision making on which kicker to pick between him and Ku. But I'm sorry, this is personnel. Personnel falls.
Well, I don't really care who made the decision. Yeah. I care that we don't have a kicker that can kick extra points.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
You have Jackson Dart balling out there against one of the best defenses in the league without his best receivers.
It's
even
an incredible performance.
You can't. I mean, I was thinking maybe we, like, you know, firing Dable at the end of the season, but I don't either want to ruin Jackson Dart's development. That's the worst thing you can do.
That's the worst thing you can do. That's how I feel. Not an ounce of me came out of that game specifically. Like, if you want to, like, if your point is you're just going to add this to the list of reasons you had over the last 2 years to fire him, he gave you plenty of reasons the last 2 years. But I don't know what specifically was done in this game that makes you want to fire the coach, other than having an epic collapse. I get it, but like, I don't know. And watch the way the quarterback plays. It is a huge, it's a vital relationship, the coach and the quarterback. And I know Jackson Dart just has it. And when quarterbacks have it, we believe they don't need coaching, right? He had nothing to do with Josh Allen. Josh Allen just has it. And this kid's shown promise. And so the court, like, you really want to mess with this kid the way he's playing right now? And there's no standout moment where Brian Dable did something outrageously stupid. Like, I'm sorry, he didn't. I disagree. I don't think giving this kid the ball and telling him to go win the game when that defense, you could tell the injuries killed the defense. Losing Holland and losing Adebo, you could feel it. You could feel the impact right away. Plus, you had a hobbled Burns. I'm trusting that kid to go get me a first down. And at worst, you know, an incomplete pass. Or even take a sack. I got to trust that kid in that moment. He's earned it. He's earned it the way he's played. Now, do I love the play call in the next drive where it's run, and then they throw the long bomb? Not really. I don't love the long bomb call. But they felt like they had a one-on-one situation, and he did have a step. It's a hard throw to make. But, like, Jackson Dart played incredibly well. They have answered the most important question in all of NFL football. The most important question that any franchise can ask is who's their starting quarterback. The Giants have solved it. The Giants have answered it. And in part because his relationship with the coach. I don't know what level, but in part. And I ain't messing with it. Dave in Staten Island, what's up, Dave?
Hey, Chris. How you doing, man?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Good. So first of all, I just got to say you do an incredible job of the show. I really enjoy your analysis and what you bring to the table.
Well, thank you.
No problem. So, diehard Giant fan, I mean, this is as bad a loss as you can, you know, basically muster. Mm-hmm. My concern is that I know that the Giants' mantra is they never like to fire anybody midseason. But I think in this case, Shane Bowen has to get the axe in some form. I mean, this first, his coaching as far as defensive coordinator, it's just, I don't know. It's very inconsistent for me.
Yeah, but, and what's funny, too, is he was, along with everybody else, along with the entire Giant team, like, he was on his way after last week and pitching a shutout through three quarters here. Bowen was on his way to solving a lot of our concerns. Like, we were ready to put those concerns to bed. And then this fourth quarter happened, 33 points in the fourth quarter. The Giants lost the football game where they were up 19 points in the fourth quarter, and they scored two touchdowns in the fourth quarter, and they still lost. That is, I cannot believe that happened. That's one of the more incredible, up 19, and you scored two more touchdowns, and you still lost. I don't even know how it's possible.
100%. I mean, just to differ on your point, I do respect your stance on Dable, but
yeah.
I look at it this way. If you're up 32-30, and I know easier said than done, you have to be literally in these guys' faces. Hey, guys, you know, look, we almost got this done. We almost got this done. Somebody's got to be firing up. Somebody's got to take accountability on that sideline to basically emphasize how an important game this is that you literally could have just snatched from the jaws of defeat, so to speak. And that, to me, bothers me. That does not put somebody on the a string.
I mean, I hear what you're saying. But that, I don't know. If he goes up and down the sidelines saying, hey, this play's important, you think, that makes a difference? They know how important the play is. They know how important the play is. It's a bad play call to allow him to have all that time, and it's a bad executed play. It's a bad executed play. Phillips plays it terribly, and I'm pretty sure it was Dane Belton, the safety at the time. He breaks towards the sidelines. He breaks the wrong way, and the ball is thrown right where he was standing. It's just a poorly executed play, a poorly designed, poor play call. I don't like dropping eight back either. But again, it's not why they lost. And they didn't, I have a bunch of buddies they played softy and they're up 19-0 and they let their foot off the gas. They didn't play any sort of off, prevent defense at 19-0. It's one play. The first play of that last drive where they rushed three and gave him all that time, that's the play. The defense was done. They played an incredible first three quarters. They had two devastating injuries, and Burns was hobbled. That was it. They weren't, and that's why I have less problem than some do with giving Jackson Dart the ball there. I have no problem with it. Go win the football game. I actually hear a bunch of people tell me, oh, he coached scared. He coached scared. He gave his young quarterback the ball and said, go get 5 yards and win us the football game. I don't think he coached scared. All right, they were running the ball at times. They didn't throw it as much as they did later because they're trying to run the clock out. But 3rd and 5 in that moment, he could have done what Tiki Barber thought they should have done. A lot of people thought they should have done. Run the ball, make them use their last timeout, and punt it. And instead, he said, I don't want to give them the ball. I want to go win this football game. And he gave it to his quarterback. His quarterback made a colossal mistake. He's a rookie, and he's going to make mistakes. But to me, you trust Jackson Dart figuring out a way how to get 5 yards? Do you trust that defense, as it was getting cooked there? I'll take Jackson Dart getting me 5 yards any day of the week.